Support for this podcast comes from U.S. Bank. When it's time for a new credit card, the best ones do way more than just buy stuff. And that's why U.S. Bank offers credit cards that make every day more rewarding. Earn cash back, score points when you shop, dine out, travel, or binge watch, or get a low intro APR. U.S. Bank credit cards were designed to fit your lifestyle. So make every day more rewarding and check out usbank.com/creditcard. U.S. Bank credit cards are issued by U.S. Bank National Association N.D. Some restrictions may apply. Member FDIC.
Welcome to the RotoWire DFS MLB Podcast Wednesday edition. Hi there, baseball fans. I'm Paul Bruno, and I'm joined once again by John McKechnie, who worked with me on baseball and football podcasts all throughout last season. Our plan is to go through each position, highlighting various players in different price ranges who could be great plays in today's games on FanDuel. Before we get going, I'll invite you to follow me, Paul Bruno, at Statsman22, and you can follow John, a great follow, at Johnny McKechs. Well, John, one of us is much happier with their favorite team than the other guy. If we look at the standings today, your O's are sitting in first place with an 8-4 record. I've seen enough of them in the early going in Toronto. Yeah. They've taken our Jays to task and gotten some measure of revenge for that wild card game. And my Blue Jays are a miserable 2-11. That's three games behind anybody else in the major leagues. I'm stunned at how bad the Toronto club has looked so early on. And I think they're in big trouble. What say you from a distance?
Well, I think, you know, Donaldson getting injured, you know, the obviously aggravation of the calf injury, that's always a concern. You know, you worry about, you know, muscle tissue injuries like that kind of like lingering throughout the year. So that obviously doesn't help. Morales has been fine, but, you know, he's still not quite, you know, the Encarnacion replacement that would have hoped for. It seems also like the bullpen has been shaky at best. What's your read on that?
Well, I agree with you. They just don't seem to have it going in the middle of relief to bridge from the starting pitching, which the starting pitchers haven't been too badly, really, except for tonight's starter who got shelled in his first start of the season. Liriano got a third of an inning. But beyond that, they've given some decent performances there. It's just the middle of the bullpen. And then, of course, Osuna came on after a 10-day stint in the DL. So really some question marks there, too. But, John, I'm a little concerned. I don't see anything in Jose Bautista's offensive game to tell me that he's ready to put a bad 2016 season behind him. And we might be seeing the end of the line for one of the guys who was famously quoted by your general manager that your fan base didn't want to have any part of him in free agency. And they're looking good right now for that call. So at the top of the division, we find your club. And they also have a bit of an injury issue with their closer, who was on the precipice of a historic save streak record.
Right. Yeah. He's dealing with the forearm strain, but luckily he kind of made it sound like it's more closer to his wrist than his elbow, which obviously kind of alleviates some of like the stress about it. But he's not supposed to go for an MRI or anything like that. So hopefully Britton gets back on the hill after the 10 days. But, you know, I'd be fine with the Orioles keeping with Brock and O'Day for as long as Britton needs to be back at full health, because you don't want to like push back, you know, have him push an elbow injury and, you know, something worse happens.
John, I want to talk about the Donaldson situation and not really singling him out, but there's a number of players who ended last season with bumps and bruises. And then you find that over the offseason, you would have liked to think that they would have rehabbed and been in fine shape. There's two ways to look at this situation. Either he was having a little too much fun, or he's just built like a racehorse and the muscles are so tight and he's so fit that the slightest thing that goes awry can really manifest itself into a new problem. So I don't know how to read this situation, not only with Donaldson, but some of the guys that end one season injured and then they go through a summer. You see them in social media doing this. They're golfing, they're scuba diving, they're this and that. They're very active. Mm-hmm. And then they start the season, and then two games in, they're on the DL. I don't like the optics.
No, it's not a great look. I think you bring up an interesting point there, but it seems like Donaldson's really dedicated to his craft. Yeah. So I think this might be a string of bad luck that he's kind of run into. But I think a case can definitely be made for what you're saying, you know, when it comes to some other players and, you know, coming out, they're supposed to be, you know, fully ready to go for the season. And, you know, they're a few days later, they're already on the shelf.
Well, maybe it's a case of these guys not carrying enough fat. And I could certainly help them out in that regard. I'm willing to donate some to offset the muscles. So, I mean, I have some to give. I'm not saying I'm a slob, but I should put a picture on social media to defend myself a little bit. But you get the point, John.
Indeed.
All right. Why don't we go through the starting pitching matchups and the lines that are available for today's games. John, you start us off with the 7 o'clock games.
All right, we're going to move past the early games here, get us started with these 7 o'clock ones. We got the White Sox with Dylan Covey making one of his first starts of the season, going against Masahiro Tanaka. Yankees minus 205 favorites, and the over-under is set at 8 runs. That's a 7:05 start. Then we got the Red Sox versus the Blue Jays, your Blue Jays. We got Rick Porcello. The Red Sox are slight road favorites, minus 105 with an 8.5 over-under. That's a 7:07 start. Heading down to Tampa Bay, the Rays and Chris Archer are hosting Jordan Zimmerman and the Tigers. The Rays minus 165 on the money line, 7.5 runs is the over-under there. Then heading out to Great American Ballpark, last night, obviously a pretty crazy game for the Reds and Bronson Arroyo kind of shutting down the Orioles. And we got Ubaldo Jimenez going against Amir Garrett. Orioles slight road favorites at minus 115, over-under set at 9.5. So I think there's going to be a lot of DFS interest in that game. Then we got the Phillies with Vince Velasquez taking the mound against the Mets and Robert Gutsellman. That's Mets are minus 123 favorites in that one. 7.5 is your money line. And then we have the Nationals with Joe Ross making his season debut, going down to Atlanta to face Julio Teheran. There is no line on this one at this time.
All right, John, and I'll take us through the remaining games, beginning with an 8-10 start in Houston, where the visitors are the Angels. Ramirez versus Keuchel is your pitching matchup. The money line favoring the home side with a minus 174. The over-under set at 8.5. Then we got the Indians and Bauer. They're the road favorite at minus 130, and the over-under set at 9 against Minnesota, and Mejia is the starting pitcher there. Then we've got one of the premier starting pitchers on the mound tonight, Madison Bumgarner and the Giants, where the Giants are a minus 133 road favorite. The over-under set at 7.5 against Vargas and the Kansas City Royals at 8:15. Then we got the Rockies and Anderson against the Dodgers and Clayton Kershaw, where this is the biggest line of the night favoring the Dodgers. And I guess it has a lot to do with the starting pitching mismatch there.
Absolutely.
That's perceived. And the over-under is a very low 6 runs in that game, too. So not expecting much offense, but I'll make a case for a few guys on the Rockies to change that, I think, when I get into my position picks. And then finally, Zach Greinke and the Diamondbacks with a minus 127 road favorite. The over-under set at 7.5 against San Diego, and Chacin is their starting pitcher for that 10-10 start. All right, John, I implied that there's two premier pitching options on the top of the board, and I'm going to ask you right up front as we take a look at the FanDuel prices for Clayton Kershaw and Madison Bumgarner as the exclusive premium options. Are you playing or fading these guys, John?
I think Kershaw, that price tag is expensive enough to where I think you could actually separate yourself a little bit in GPPs by using him. I don't think that we're going to see as high of an ownership percentage as we're used to seeing. I still would imagine he'll be over 20% in most GPP formats, but you know, he's obviously a guy that's worth it. It really does put a strain on your salary cap, so you do have to get creative with some of your value plays as far as your bats are concerned. If you're using a guy that's almost 13,000, you know, that's such a huge portion of your salary cap. And I think you could definitely make a case to downshift 1,800. So you're almost saving $2,000 by playing Bumgarner, who's, you know, I don't think he's $2,000 less valuable than a guy like Kershaw going against the Rockies. I think that Bumgarner on the road against Kansas City, I think that they both make sense in this case. Obviously, you just have to get more creative with Kershaw, you know, with the rest of your lineup if you're going to pay up $13,000 almost.
Yeah, John, as tempting as it is to try and squeeze one of these two guys in, maybe you work backwards and you start from the catcher and go through the position players, see what kind of room you have before you decide on whether to play or fade these guys. Yeah, I found some cheap cheap value along the way that might make it work, but awfully tough to do so. And then really there are some other quasi-premium options like Greinke, Keuchel, and Archer in the next range, along with Porcello and Tanaka and on down through the 8,000s. Why don't we take a look at that group and see if we can steer our listeners that way away from the top two options and provide a good case for some of these guys. So 8,000 and up, we're looking up to all the way up to Greinke.
Well, I think Tehran is an interesting play because he's off to such a strong start to the year, and I think we could see something that's almost unheard of when Tehran pitches. He might get some run support tonight because Joe Ross, we just don't know what we're going to get out of him in his first start back of the season. So as opposed to usually when we see Tehran throwing six innings of one run ball, but you still worry about him getting the no decision or taking the loss just because the Braves can't push any runs across, I don't necessarily think that that's the case this time around. So I think Tehran is definitely an interesting choice if you want to drop down below that Keuchel, Archer, Porcello tier and Greinke as well. But I think you might have a bit of a lean towards Chris Archer tonight. Do you want to get into that?
Yeah, I do. He's looking like the Chris Archer of a couple of years ago based on the early starts. And I like a bit of a lopsided matchup here with Zimmerman on the other side of the coin. He's prone to give up the long ball, and it's in Tampa, a pretty easy park to hit the ball out. So I like the chances for Archer in his home park to get a W in that matchup tonight. And I'm leaning heavily in that regard. So that's where I make the case. He's a $3,600 less than Clayton Kershaw. He's going to give you strikeouts. He's a guy who is averaging close to one strikeout per inning. If he gets the decision, piles up the Ks hangs around long enough, you get the quality start. It could be a bonanza there for that matchup. And there are other guys you can make the case for. Rick Porcello, certainly against the anemic Blue Jay offense. This guy's coming off a Cy Young Award winning year. The club hits a ton in front of him, and the Red Sox, if there's a park that they like almost as much as Fenway Park, it's Toronto. It seems they really beat the drum when they come mm-hmm. here, and it's a real merry-go-round on the bases for both sides, just as it was last night in that 8-7 slugfest. So I expect more of the same, and maybe Porcello receipts for the win there just because he hangs around a little longer and gets the innings under his belt. I don't see him getting the strikeouts, though, in that one. That's why I'm a little less enthused. Masahiro Tanaka, another guy who is the ace of the Yankee staff against a pretty pop gun type offense in Chicago. That's another one that looks pretty good to me, John. So there's some attractive options in addition to Tehran that you mentioned in this range, certainly, that we can pick and choose from. I already slagged Jordan Zimmerman a little bit, but why don't we take a look at some of the other guys in the 7,000 range, John? Trevor Bauer up to Zimmerman. You want to make a case for any of these guys, or are you fading this group?
Boy, this is a kind of a tough group to really buy in on. I think Amir Garrett might be the one sort of wild card of this group. Like I mentioned earlier, I'm not really touching Joe Ross. Just too worried about making that debut there. Gesellman, somewhat interesting because he's at home, home ballpark that obviously helps matters, and he's going against a Phillies offense that it can certainly take a night off here and there. And Gesellman, not off to a great start this season, and he's a really trendy pick kind of coming into the year. So I think there could be some room for a lower ownership than we would have seen a week or two ago on him. So for a tournament consideration, he might be worth it. But generally, this group below Vargas at 8,200, it's hard for me to make a very strong case for any one of these guys. They all seem like pretty major liabilities for the most part.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I'm the only one that might be intriguing to me is Trevor Bauer, but that's just simply on the case that the Cleveland outslugs Minnesota. I love that Cleveland offense. And you already mentioned Edwin Encarnacion, not off to the greatest start there, but it's a pretty deep group. If he survives five innings, he could be presented with quite a handful of runs, too. So there's a guy that could be receding for the win, not solely based on his performance, but just on the supporting cast. So that's one way to look at finding some value, I guess, in this group, John. And beyond that, you really can't make a case for some of the guys at the low end either for the same reasons you mentioned. It's just an uninspiring group. I think the real value here that we touched on is, say, something between the 7,600 and the 9,000 range, where you see Chris Archer. So that's where I'm going to find my groove in terms of the starting pitching for tonight. Why don't we take a look then at the catching position next, John, and lead us through, well, the premium group contains four batters here. We got Posey, Sanchez, D'Arnaud, and McCann.
Well, Sanchez is still out, unfortunately. And, you know, Posey, he came back last night from his stint on the concussion list. I didn't see this one particular at bat, but I did see a baseball writer tweet out like that Posey had one of the worst at bats he has ever seen from a player of Buster Posey's caliber. So maybe he's still kind of shaking off the rust after, you know, that scary incident against the Diamondbacks last week. So I'm not ready to get back with Buster Posey here at 3,900. That's so much more expensive than anyone else in this position group. D'Arnaud, case could certainly be made for. And then McCann, anytime he's going against a righty, he has to at least warrant some consideration. And, you know, you're getting arguably the second best catcher in this in the slate here, and you're only paying 3,000 for him. So I think McCann would make a lot of sense for tonight from this group.
Yeah, I love that call, John. In fact, he's going to creep into my lineup. I'll leak that information right now. You probably would have grabbed him if I didn't pick first. But yeah, his name leaps off the page. You mentioned the matchup favoring him tonight, so I love that call in this group. If we go down into the next tier, the 2,900s, we got Tyler Flowers looking like a hamstring is maybe going to prevent him from showing up tonight. Matt Wieters and his new digs in Washington takes on Atlanta. That could be an interesting matchup on the road in that box. So what say you about the top half of, say, this group down to 2,600? Let's go down to there.
Wieters just doesn't have the offensive ceiling that I'm really looking for here. You know, I think he could potentially get on base a couple times, but this is a pretty tough matchup. So I think that there are other matchups to take advantage here from the catcher group. I think Wellington Castillo going against a lefty, Amir Garrett, I think he makes some sense there at checking in at just 2,800. But I'd say like my favorite from this little group is probably Victor Martinez. He's squaring up the ball well. His batting average is down to just 205, I believe, but he's 10th in the majors in terms of hard hit percentage, and his batting average on balls in play is 257, which, as you know, is a below average mark. It's kind of suggests that he's running into some bad luck. So I'm looking for, even with that tough matchup against a guy like Chris Archer, I think that those hard hit balls, you know, he's squaring up well enough to where they're going to start to fall in, just, you know, progression to the mean, if you will. So I think that V-Mart makes some sense here at just 2,600, even with that tough matchup.
And I'm going to give a nod to Christian Vasquez in that matchup against Toronto. He's facing the left-hander in Francisco Liriano, and I wonder if he can take advantage of that. Certainly off to a good start so far this season, and he's got the benefit of the righty-lefty matchup in that Boston offense. And the Jays have been burned by the bottom of the order, it seems, in so many of their games. Well, top and bottom of the order, but the bottom of the order has really impacted them quite regularly. So Christian Vasquez will be in that group, and he's well protected around there, so it might be making some sense at $2,600. And another guy I like, always a favorite, is Sal Perez in the middle of a productive Kansas City order. He's a guy that normally fits in to a more productive part of the batting order, and that's a key consideration when you're playing FanDuel. And they give out tips regularly, John, that I look at, and anywhere from 3 to 6 in the batting order, that seems to be the most productive spots in FanDuel play. So I think Salvador Perez finds himself there in that matchup tonight, although he gets Madison Bumgarner, and it could be a bit of a toughy matchup, but again, benefiting from the righty-lefty thing.
Yeah, and I think that the price sort of reflects, you know, that it is a tough matchup, but, you know, Perez is a professional hitter, and, you know, he's going to be hitting, like you said, in that sweet spot of the lineup. So you're kind of getting him at a discount. Obviously, there is the risk of a goose egg, just because, not because of him, it's because he's going against a guy like Madison Bumgarner. But I think he's definitely worth a flyer because he's so far down the list in terms of price compared to some of his fellow position mates.
John, before we go on to other positions, I'm going to remind people that FanDuel is back. Baseball fans, the wait's over, as we know. Baseball's back, which means FanDuel is back, and it's better than ever. FanDuel, where fantasy baseball is there for everyday fans. There's new content contest starting every day. There's no busted seasons. Just pick a contest, choose your team, and compete against other fans. And there's new stuff this year that they've added to make it even better. There's late swap contests. You can edit your players right up to the start time of their individual games. There's no more worrying about a late lineup scratch or a sudden storm. Non-late swap contests are still available, too. And they've added quality starts to update the scoring on FanDuel. They are added so your pitchers will have more control over their own performance, and they get a bigger impact on your final total as well if they go long into the games. They have a friends mode, and John, we got to get on this, where we create a league for our friends at RotoWire. Choose the days that we play each week. There's contests that will be created automatically. What I love too, it's got a leaderboard function that'll keep track of how well we stack up against one another. So I can't wait to see if we can pull that off and have some fun with that. Other than that, John, you having fun with the baseball experience at FanDuel already this year?
Absolutely. You know, I'm enjoying that RotoWire contest that we've been doing every Wednesday to start the season. Really enjoying that. I haven't quite gotten up to the top of the leaderboard in that regard yet, but I'm working on it. And I had a pretty good night last night. I used a lot of reds, and that worked out extremely well. Joey Votto, Adam Duvall, all crushing it against my Orioles, unfortunately. But, I mean, I guess if the Orioles are going to take the loss like that, I might as well kind of make some money off of it. So, could be worse.
One way,
yeah, the emotional hedge, as they call it.
Exactly right. Well, remind our listeners to have all the fantasy that baseball has to offer. FanDuel, be sports rich, folks. Sign up today. Go to FanDuel.com/RW. In fact, there's a special offer for new users where you deposit today and you get a free six-month RotoWire subscription plus five free entries. That's up to $50 in value to try a variety of sports on FanDuel. Of course, we don't just do baseball. So have a look at FanDuel. That's FanDuel.com/RW. All right, John, we're going to go around the infield now. Let's take it over to the first base spot and take a look at the top guys there at that position, beginning with Freddie Freeman and Paul Goldschmidt and Miguel Cabrera, the 4,000-plus club, I'll call it today, made up of three names. Are you favoring any one of the three over the others?
And this is an interesting list. I mean, you don't always see Freeman, not only being the most expensive first baseman on the board, but, you know, sitting at a price tag that we're used to seeing only a few players like Paul Goldschmidt reach, like the 4,500 mark. You don't really see that from Freeman too much, but it kind of seems like FanDuel is almost daring us to use him against a guy in Joe Ross who, like we've mentioned, is going to be making his first start of the year. So I'm intrigued by Freeman the most of this group. Obviously, he's really, really expensive at 4,500, but Goldschmidt, obviously, he's a guy that's safe against the Padres. He's always consistently producing. Looks like Miguel Cabrera's back tightness is behind him. I think he homered last night, if I remember correctly. Yes, he did. So he's always a fine play. But at 4,000, he's probably has the toughest pitching matchup of this tier. So I'm probably going to have the least exposure to Cabrera. If I'm paying up at first base, I'm probably leaning towards Freeman tonight.
I'm going to lean Goldschmidt just simply because I love the history between him and the starting pitchers when they're favorable. And tonight he has a favorable ledger against Julius Chachin, although it's a limited ledger, only 13 at bats, but he's driven in six runs, only struck out twice. So the ball has been in play more often than not. And he's got an OPS over one. Those are all positive indicators, regardless of how big the sample size is. I mean, if it was one game, I wouldn't look at it, but this is like three separate outings, and we're talking about America's first baseman, aren't we?
That's right. Yeah, Captain America, pretty much.
That's it. So anyway, if you fade this group, there's still plenty of great options. There's a handful. Let's go down to $3,400. There's about six guys in there. We talked about Encarnacion a little bit, starting out slowly, but at the top of this group, we got another Canadian-born player in Joey Votto, another professional hitter against your club. What say you about the batters in this area?
Yeah, I'm going to have a lot of Joey Votto this evening. I mean, he's going against a guy in Ubaldo who's about as meltdown prone as any veteran pitcher as you're going to see in baseball. And obviously playing at Great American Ballpark, that only exacerbates that issue, I think. So I think we're going to see Votto. I think he could easily get over the 20-point threshold, and he can do it in a variety of ways. He doesn't have to homer. Like, he's not restricted to just power. He can lace a double. I think guys are going to be on base in front of him, so I think Votto's going to have an easy time hitting value for you tonight if you pay up for him at 3,800. And I think Mitch Moreland is kind of interesting, although he is facing a lefty as a left-handed batter. So you'll have to kind of make sure that he is in the lineup. But he's swinging the bat so well right now. He's, you know, he's hitting 358. He's just seeing everything. He's hitting a ton of doubles. So I think he's a guy to look out for if he slides into a preferable part of the order. He's someone that I would definitely consider based on kind of how he's gotten off to a hot start.
Yeah, I'll add the fact that Votto has a 5-for-15 ledger against Jimenez, including a long ball. That makes me look at him twice and say maybe I'd throw him in there. But another guy in this group is Carlos Santana. He's got 6 hits in his last 4 games, including a couple of multi-hit efforts and a mittful of RBIs, 5 it looks like. And again, not striking out too much, so putting the ball in play, and I like that. A guy's getting hits and putting the ball in play. He's not off to a great start batting average-wise, but wielding the hot stick of late. So there's my endorsement of 2 guys in this group for our listeners. We take it down a notch and we look at Hanley Ramirez against Toronto and Edwin Encarnacion against Minnesota, 2 pretty good options. And then your guy, Chris Davis, always a threat to go deep. Trey Mancini off to a fine start. What say you about this group here above the 3,000 mark, below 3,500?
I think Hanley makes sense tonight against Liriano, obviously drawing the lefty-righty split, and so does Mancini. I don't trust Chris Davis is making better contact than we've seen in recent years to start this season. But against a left-hander, I'm going to give a lean to Mancini, get the right-handed bat in there. He's obviously going to be hitting probably closer to the bottom third of the order, unfortunately. But at the same time, I think that just the way that he's been playing, you know, he has 2 multi-home run games so far to start the season. I think, you know, like I mentioned, this game is going to have a lot of runs in it. There's a reason why I think it's the highest over-under on the board tonight, and I think Mancini could certainly be a reason as to why the score is jumping off the page.
Yeah, you got to be excited about this guy. In his last 4 starts, he's collected 7 hits and 4 home runs. Really got the pundits excited. It could be a strong addition to an already deep batting order. I mean, you almost got a problem of where to put this guy at some point.
Exactly.
With all the options you must have. You're rubbing your hands in glee over there, I can tell.
I'm pumped.
And any other value plays, maybe a tournament play or two below the 3,000 threshold? We got the likes of Jose Abreu, who I really like. He's a professional hitter, this guy, to use your words. Kendrys Morales, one of the big bats. He's shown some power with the Blue Jays, and Porcello might be susceptible here in terms of the lefty-righty matchup. So I'll throw those 2 names out in the $2,900 range. Anybody else tickle your fancy here?
Let's see. I think I like Greg Bird going against Covey. You know, I think we're all just kind of waiting on Greg Bird to break out. He's off to a really kind of harsh start this year. He's hitting only 121. He's only gone deep once, you know, after having such a tremendous spring that kind of had him just exploding up draft boards. Really had to go and pay a lot for him if you had him in an auction. So he draws a matchup against Covey that I think it has to be about as favorable as what Bird is going to be seeing this year. So provided that he gets a start, maybe tonight would be the night that he starts to break out, and you just have to go 2,700 for him. And then also from this group, I would probably avoid Brandon Belt going against a lefty.
Yeah, and I'm going to add the name of Adrian Gonzalez. He's on a bit of a hit streak most recently. And I think at $2,600, I'll take a shot on him. He's also going to be in support of one of the best pitchers in baseball. So I think I'd like to think the Dodgers get up a little bit more when they're playing behind the best pitcher in baseball, I'll say. And Gonzalez and company could take advantage of what I think is a pretty favorable matchup in terms of the pitching in that game as well. So making a case for a veteran who I lean on a lot, and surprised to find him this low on the totem pole, considering he's put the bat on the ball with regularity to start the season anyway. At the second base position, we've got Jose Altuve all alone at $4,200. John, when there's a guy this far ahead of the pack, I'll ask you straight out, play or fade, make the case for him, or do we find value elsewhere?
I'm probably going to fade Altuve in this case. It's not that he has a bad matchup or anything, but $4,200 is just more than I'm willing to pay for at second base. I think you can drop down $500 and go get Brian Dozier and get very similar production. That, you know, they're only averaging 0.1 points different from each other this year. So you're pretty much getting the same amount of production out of Dozier as you are as Altuve, but you're saving $500. And Dozier's been getting the green light on the base paths this year. So that's always kind of a, it's not like Jose Altuve doesn't steal bases in his own right, but you're getting a more of a power speed combo from Dozier at this time. So I would give him the lean among this upper tier. Also like Daniel Murphy, you got to love Daniel Murphy, but don't love the matchup as much as you would some of these other top flight guys. And then Cesar Hernandez, actually, he's just been ripping it up. So he gets arguably the most vulnerable of the Mets starting pitchers in Gesellman. So maybe we see Cesar Hernandez take advantage of that at 3,500. I think he's an interesting name from this group, but my favorite would be Dozier for this night.
Yeah, I'm going to say you touched on my favorite is Hernandez. He's averaged 2 hits a game his last 5 starts, power and speed as well in the combination that you implied with other players you've highlighted right here. This guy's productive right now and a switch hitter, so he's going to get the favorable matchup no matter what they throw at him early or late in the game tonight. And you mentioned it's going to be a favorable matchup this evening with the softy on the other side of the mound to begin things. So I love that call, and he's definitely the standout for me. But if we go a little bit lower, John, the name that I'm leaning on is in the next group from $3,000 up to $3,400. $3,400, we see a day-to-day toe injury for Logan Forsythe. So yep. I will avoid him and I urge you all to do so as well. But what say you about this group of five from $3,000 to $3,100?
There's some tricky names in here. You know, I'm not going to pay up $3,400 for a guy like Brandon Phillips right now. I'm just not completely sold on his upside at this stage of his career. But I like Jose Peraza a lot at $3,100. You know, he's another way to get some Reds exposure against Ubaldo. So, I mean, that's sort of the driving factor behind my decision to plug him in. He got benched after kind of a mini slump there, but he kind of got back in the swing of things last night. He had a double, he had a stolen base, so that's very solid production. I think he could probably match that tonight going against Ubaldo.
Yeah, and in this group, a guy that I'm concerned about as a Jays fan is Dustin Pedroia. He's 6-for-11 in 15 plate appearances. You can add 3 walks to that mix. So his numbers are off the charts against Liriano, and admittedly a small sample size, but it is a dominant one. And I can also tell you firsthand that I've seen this guy have too many great games in Toronto. This smells like another opportunity there. So for this price tag, I'm all over this guy as a real good option. Let's go to the bottom tier in this group, John. There's got to be some guys that might intrigue us under $3,000. Why don't you kick it off and try and highlight one or two?
I think Starlin Castro would be my pick from this sort of tier. You know, you're checking in at $2,800. He's hitting well over .300 against both righties and lefties tonight. And, you know, as I mentioned, he's got one of the best matchups tonight. So I think the Yankees, aside from the Reds, are probably my favorite stack this evening, just based on the pitching matchup that they're getting against, you know, a guy like Covey. You can be a little bit concerned that there's no book on Covey yet. You know, he's only made the one start, but I just don't think that he has the electric stuff that you know, someone like Amir Garrett on the Reds that is having some early season success does. So I think Castro draws a really favorable matchup here, and I think that he'll definitely be able to outperform even some of the guys that are $700-$800 more expensive than he is.
Yeah, maybe your red stack might include Scooter Gennett too. I hate to harp on this matchup, but you are too against.
Yeah, absolutely.
Three homers, ten.
There's no defending him.
Three homers, ten RBIs for Gennett so far. You got the lefty righty matchup going. $2,800 seems low given that scenario. So that's a pretty solid recommendation coming from me, I think, in this matchup tonight. All right, we'll move it over to the third base, John, and we'll take it to the top of the board here. And at the top of this list, we see Justin Turner, we see Jake Lamb, and Manny Machado all tied at $3,900. Which one of these three guys are you favoring? I kind of have an idea. You might pick one of them.
Well, I think Machado would probably be my pick from this
group.
Yep. So you knew that one. But Turner is kind of an odd case where he at least last year, and it's still early into this season, but he's got a bit of the reverse split thing where he hits righties better than he does hit lefties. And he's going to be facing a lefty tonight. And the Dodgers just tend to struggle against left-handed pitching, and teams are starting to kind of put as many lefties as they possibly can against him to kind of get them off of their rhythm. So I think Turner is kind of one of the culprits in that, in those struggles. So I would lean away from Turner if I'm trying to pay for a more expensive third baseman. I think Lamb or Machado, you really can't go wrong either way.
Yeah, Lamb, for his part, has hit in 9 of his last 10 games, so off to a great start. 14 ribbies already in the bank, and Arizona's offense seems to be hitting on all cylinders of late, so I'm all over this one in terms of the top tier. That's the guy that I was leaning on, and I knew it would be different from the guy that you picked up front, so good that we mentioned two of them. Next up, we got the 3,800 down to 3,500. We got names like Ramirez, Donaldson. Well, Donaldson won't play. Eugenio Suarez might not play either. He's day-to-day with a neck injury. So it's Ramirez and then down to Miguel Sano. Well, let's take it down to 3,000 since there's only a few names here, John.
Yep. I like Nick Castellanos. He's another guy that, just like V-Mart, obviously draws a tough matchup tonight against Archer, but he's also near the top of the league's leaderboard in terms of hard hit percentage. So you know that he's squaring everything up right now, and he's only at 3,100. So I think that he'll certainly be able to kind of hit value. I'd see him going for double digit points tonight, even if it is against Archer. And, you know, if the Tigers are kind of able to get into that Tampa Bay bullpen, I think that creates even better opportunities. Plus the fact that Castellanos has been hitting, I think, second in the order for most of the season, if not all season. That's obviously where you want to get somebody into your lineup. You want that top third. So Castellanos represents all those things that you're looking for as far as your third baseman.
Yeah, and I'm going to counter with Nolan Arenado in this range. Look at the history he's had with Clayton Kershaw. There's not too many guys that have gone 12 for 36 against the outstanding wow. lefty. Two homers, four ribbies in that mix. Only 5 strikeouts. That's another thing that I look at when I see a significant sample size. How many times is the ball in play? Well, it's in play a lot here, and then we got a guy whose his OPS is almost at 1 in this matchup. So Arenado, and he's not the only one of the Rockies that has a decent mark against Kershaw, so it could be a difficult night for him. I know it's not in the bandbox in Colorado, but these guys seem to hit him everywhere, so I'm intrigued by this matchup, and I'm going to be fading Kershaw, obviously, based on the numbers that I've unearthed, but Arenado is a big reason why I'm doing so, and in fact, he's going to make his way into my lineup. $3,300, you won't see that price.
Yeah, that is so cheap,
yeah,
Arenado.
Yeah, you won't see that on him too often this year, and I think he pays you back handsomely, given the history that he's enjoyed with this matchup. We take it down below the 3,000 mark, and we got names like Adonis Garcia, Yangerby, Soldarte, Mike Moustakas, some recognizable ones, Yunel Escobar, who is a pretty good hitter in his own right, leading the pack in the sub-3,000s. Do any of those guys intrigue you, or are you going down the list a little further?
This is sort of a wonky tier. I mean, it's okay, but none of these guys are particularly exciting to me. I suppose Michael Franco at 3,000 kind of fits the bill. Escobar is a guy that is always leading off, and he's got a guy in Mike Trout to sort of protect him down in the order a little bit there. So those guys make some sense to me. Escobar draws the matchup against Keuchel, so that's not as favorable as Michael Franco's. I think Franco would sort of get the edge from me from this tier because Gesellman is pitching for the Mets. So I think that Franco has the pop to take advantage of that sort of matchup.
And for me, you mentioned a guy with pop, Pablo Sandoval, hitting up a storm most recently. He's got hits in 4 of his last 5 games, including 2 home runs and 5 RBIs. Gets the benefit as a switch hitter with a hitting advantage against Liriano, who's been up and down for the Blue Jays, and nothing's going right for Toronto. So I'm kind of thinking a Boston stack might be in order here, just because this team is hot and the Jays certainly are not. And so we make a case for a couple of stacks already in the program. John, let's go over to the shortstop position before we take it to the outfield. There's one guy above the 4,000 plateau. So again, is it a player fade on Francisco Lindor?
It's one of those things where if you have room, then certainly go for it. Lindor is about as reliable as they come. He's averaging almost 16 points a game for FanDuel purposes. I mean, he just offers such a high floor and a pretty strong ceiling as well. He's just always able to produce for you anytime you get him into your lineup. And tonight he gets an interesting matchup against Mejia. So he'll be facing a lefty. He doesn't hit lefties as well as he hits righties, I believe. But at the same time, 4,100, he can do so much damage, and he hits right in the heart of that order. So if you do have a little bit of extra salary. You know, you're not using your Kershaws or your Bumgarners, and you have the luxury of going for over 4,000 at a position player. I think Lindor is certainly worth your consideration.
Yeah, he's an excellent table setter for the rest of that offense, and when you're supported the way he is in the middle of the order, it makes great sense to get him in whenever you can. Stands clear. Clearly is a great pick tonight ahead of the rest of the field. Trey Turner, you mentioned earlier, the tough matchup against Tehran. I'm staying away from him just because of that situation. Might be looking elsewhere in the plus 3,500 range. We got three other names. One of them, though, Carlos Correa, dealing with a hand injury. So why don't you tell us what you think about the few guys between $3,500 and $3,700 here?
Yeah, so I'm gonna wait and see on Carlos Correa. Not just only waiting to see if he gets back into the lineup, but I'd like to see him start hitting again before I'm ready to start using him on FanDuel again. You know, he obviously took that pitch off the hand; it looked pretty painful. So I'm off of him for the time being. Seager, obviously, you love the price tag here at 3,500. Yeah. That's something that you can always take notice of. But he is going against a lefty. Yeah. Like I mentioned, those Dodgers lefties, it's just tough to use them once they're facing a southpaw. So you brought up the Red Sox. I'm definitely in with you on that one for tonight. I think Bogaerts certainly fits the bill here. He's at 3,200. I think he's kind of one of the more surprising price tags that I see, at least from the shortstop position. I feel like he could certainly be much closer to the 3,500-3,600 range. So I think you're getting a definite bargain on him. I imagine they'll have pretty high ownership rates in GPPs because of his price tag and the matchup, but I think he'll certainly be worth it.
Yeah, the one Blue Jay bat I'll be on in this game is in this range. That's Troy Tulowitzki. He's got hits in five straight games, including a couple of games where he's got two hits as well. Porcello won't no hit this club. Somebody's going to get on base. I'm betting it's our all-star caliber third baseman. He's starting to show me what he was in Colorado, but he needs to pull up the socks of some of his friends before I get too excited about this team. He's doing what he can and battling with a hot stick, so I like that. To insert that in the matchup if I can tonight. Down to sub 3,000 in this group, we got a whole bunch of names, John, that people will recognize. Brandon Crawford is one. Matt Duffy's a guy that I really like in Tampa in that matchup tonight. What about you? Didi Gregorius, another name I'll throw out there too.
JJ Hardy, I think, is an interesting case. He got off to a really slow start this year. He started to heat up over the weekend with a pair of 20-point outings on FanDuel, and he draws a lefty-righty matchup tonight, like we keep drawing attention to. But he's at 2,600, kind of hits in that towards the back end of the second, third of the order there. So you know there's some good pop surrounding him in that lineup. So if he can get on base, you know, you like his chances of coming around to score. What do you make of Trevor Story at 2,600? You know, obviously it's the Kershaw matchup, so you understand him having that price take a major drop off here. But do you think that this is one of those cases where he can take advantage of it?
You know what, I do, and it's funny you mentioned this in Colorado, because I'll tell you, looking at all the numbers that I see, I think this is an offense that has given Kershaw trouble in the past, and you can make a case for stacking these guys. It'd be a great tournament play, I think, and so Trevor Story could be a part of that mix. Obviously, I erred in bringing up the Yankees shortstop. He's still out of the line of Gregorius, but so you'll fade him for sure until further notice. But back to the Colorado thing, I certainly think you can make a case for this as an excellent tournament play, John. And in one of the games that I set up, I'm going to go that route and just to be that outlier and see if it does pay off. Like the numbers say they should, and I always believe the numbers don't lie. So it's worth a shot for me. Outfield, we're going to go and see there's five guys in the plus 4,000 range. And if you use a couple of tournament type players that we've highlighted, I think you can make a case for including a couple of these guys tonight, John.
Absolutely. I mean, Springer, everything off of his bat is well over 100 miles an hour. It seems like he's just absolutely squaring up everything. Cespedes, as we know, kind of famously went on one of his, you know, just classic Yoenis Cespedes tears last week. He hit five home runs in his span of two games or something like that. Just incredibly locked in. You don't want to like lean explicitly on just the idea of someone being quote unquote locked in. But I think, you know, Cespedes, when it's a guy like Cespedes, I think it it makes sense. And then obviously you got your Trouts and your Harpers, but that, you know, those are over 4,500. So I'm probably not going to use Harper with Tehran going on the hill. I could see Keuchel, you know, maybe having some struggles against Mike Trout. I think, you know, you draw the lefty righty matchup. You're paying almost $5,000 for Mike Trout, though. That's the one sort of area of concern for me. So you really are going to have to find some bargains elsewhere in your lineup if you want to get a guy like Trout in there.
Well, and I'm going to make a case for Harper in this range because I think the guy is looking like a more motivated version of himself, I'll say. The batting average over 350. The power numbers are there. Lefty-righty matchup, it gets a tough one. But I think I can't fade him just because I think this is a guy who's got last year's stats somewhere on a bulletin board right near where he dresses every day and must be thinking, there's no way I'm going to do that again. And the early returns say that he's well on his way to having a more Bryce Harper-like type season. So I love the call on George Springer. To me, he's a guy that I'm definitely going to put in my several of my lineups tonight. So those are the two guys. Mookie Betts also scares me in that possible Boston stack, sure, if you can fit him in. So really some great options. You mentioned Cespedes. You can't go wrong in this group. If you can fit two of them in, any two of them could work tonight as a pairing. If you wanted to save money in this group, in this position, obviously there's a wealth of options above the 3,500 mark. John, why don't you lead us into the discussion of that grouping?
I think you can get some of that exposure to the Orioles in the Reds game, yeah, through by using this tier. You know, Adam Jones, he's been hitting usually second or third in the order lately. So if you wanted to get a Jones and Trumbo stack, you know, I know Chris Davis usually hits between them, but you know, there's still a chance that Jones gets on base, Trumbo brings him around, that sort of thing. So 3,600 for both of those guys, I think they make some sense if you wanted to go with that middle tier stack there. I like AJ Pollock a lot. I like his upside. I like where he hits in the order. I love this matchup. I think that using the Diamondbacks tonight is a smart move. If I could maybe get like an AJ Pollock, Jake Lamb stack going, I'm certainly going to entertain the idea of doing that. So there's a lot of really nice players in that $3,600 range.
Yeah, you mentioned Adam Jones is the one that's, to me, the screaming hot value. He's got hits in all but one game so far this year, I believe. And so I love that consistency at the top of a potent Baltimore order that has your club in first place, and it's on merit, and it's on the basis of this offense. So why wouldn't you go that route is my answer to your salvo in that direction. In the sub 3,500 range down to 3,000 even, John, there's other names that might be worth a look. Jacoby Ellsbury, a table setter in New York. Yasiel Puig, power guy against Colorado in that favorable matchup. Andrew Benintendi, I'll say a bit of an enigmatic guy in Boston. They're expecting superstardom out of this guy. And what about any of these names? J.D. Martinez, another one against a tough matchup against Archer. What say you about this group? What names jump out?
Well, with Puig, I was initially interested in getting him into my lineup because I saw, you know, he's going against a not so sharp left-hander. But I looked at Puig's stats going against southpaws this year, and he struggles against them to a much larger extent than he does against right-handers. He doesn't hit for power off lefties either, so that made me kind of remove Yasiel Puig from consideration for tonight's game. I think Max Kepler is a guy that makes some sense for me here at 3,300, going against a guy in Trevor Bauer who's off to a bit of a shaky start this season. Max Kepler has just been solid all around. He's got 15 hits to start the year already. He's got five doubles, so he's not only getting on base, but he's getting you some pretty good point outputs. And then I would probably lean away from Benintendi just because it's a lefty-lefty matchup.
You know what, John? I mean, if there's one reason I'm anticipating Toronto's matchup against Boston, it's the battle between Jose Bautista and Rick Porcello. This is one of the more significant batter versus pitcher pools of data that we have on the board tonight, and it's very favorable for the Blue Jays slugger. He's had 38 at bats, 46 total appearances, and he's got 16 hits and four homers in that span. So if he's going to get off the schneid, there's no better opportunity than facing Porcello tonight for Joey Bats. So this will be a telling matchup. I'm going to give him one last chance tonight at this price tag, and if he fails tonight, I don't know if we'll see him above this threshold much longer the rest of the year, because it'll be a telltale sign. And you're right to smirk, because I've seen nothing to say that it's going to happen. But hey, I'm betting on history here, so that's why I bring his name up. In the sub 3,000 range, any tournament type plays that you've unearthed?
Let's see. Manuel Margot is kind of an interesting one. He's been hitting leadoff for the Padres, so that's obviously something that you look for. He checks in at just 2,900 going against Granke, who I don't think has looked as sharp to start this year as we've seen in years past. Steven Souza is a little bit interesting going against Zimmerman. He's been seeing the ball well, hitting well over 300, and he's got a pair of home runs thus far. It's a righty righty matchup, but I think he could take advantage of that too. Extent here. Those are the main guys. Obviously, Conforto, sometimes he'll draw in against a righty. You know, the Mets and Terry Collins will try to get as many left-handed bats in as possible, and I think that offense is struggling outside of Cespedes and Conforto for the most part. So I could see Conforto getting back in there tonight, and I think he could take advantage of the matchup against Vince Velasquez. So at 2,700, I'd say that he's one of my favorite players from this sub 3,000 tier.
And I'll add the name of Nori Aoki. He's got the favorable matchup. Last couple of years, he's been a real on-base machine when he's had the matchup in his favor, such as it is tonight. So I'll throw his name in as another great value play in this group, John.
I like that one.
And, well, thank you, sir. I will go on to the next part of our show, John, and that's where we put our lineups to the test. Based on what you see, what does your lineup look like in tonight's matchup?
Let's see. I'm gonna roll with Vargas against the Giants. I think that's a way to get some, you know, to differentiate myself from some other lineups, because I think generally people aren't going to be using or, you know, getting a lot of Vargas because he's facing against a guy like Bumgarner. But I think Vargas has been, you know, one of the better pitchers in baseball to start the year. Obviously, it's a small two-start sample there, but he's been money. He's 50 points per start thus far. And, you know, I don't think that Giants offense is overly imposing in my mind. So I don't think that he's going to struggle too much. And I think that there's a possibility of the Royals scratch across a couple of runs that could be just enough for Vargas to get the win. And I think he's at least going to have a quality start. And obviously we get bonuses for that now. Exactly. So that's always something to consider. Moving on to catcher, I have Victor Martinez against Archer. Like I said, he's just hitting the ball really well, just kind of getting unlucky on that batting average on balls in play. But I think he can get that thing turned around. At first base, I'm going with Trey Mancini. Going against the lefty, I think he's going to hit probably fifth or sixth in the order, probably sixth. And I think he's going to be able to take advantage at Great American Ballpark. Second base, Starlin Castro. I like his matchup against Covey. Third base, Castellanos. So I have a bit of a Tiger stack, actually, interestingly enough. And then Bogarts is my shortstop. And following up in my outfield, I had, you know, some extra room there to pay up a little bit just from using some cheaper options elsewhere. So I have Pollock, Trout, and Max Kepler.
All right. And I will counter with, I start with Chris Archer. I made the case for him earlier, a pitcher who seems to have figured things out again. And really his start tells me he's off to headed for a great year. I'll predict that. He knows what he's doing on the mound, a strikeout and inning pitcher, limits the hits, and I think the offense gets a favorable matchup against Zimmerman tonight, so I think he has a great shot to receipt for the win, and really that's what it's all about at the pitcher's position. You made the case for me on catcher, so I'm going to go with Brian McCann at $3,000. Not too often you're going to find him this low in the price tag in the middle of a great-looking Houston offense, at least on paper, so I love that pick at the catcher position. Then I'm going to throw another Blue Jay name out at you, Justin Smoke, another guy, one of the few guys who has been hitting above his pay grade, I'll say, and he's priced at only $2,300, and he has a great history against the opposing hurler, so those are all factors that make me lean in this direction. I won't call Smoke's name too often, I promise you, this year, but this is one situation that I can't ignore. And in the same matchup, I made the case for Dustin Pedroia earlier, a Blue Jay killer. He's priced at $3,000. That's a low price tag considering the favorable righty-lefty matchup he's got. Then I'm going to go counterculture against Kershaw with Nolan Arenado at the third base position, but I think I made a good case for him, John, based on the numbers that are there in the history between these two guys. So I'm quite positive about that one. Then a little bit of a surprise pick in terms of Eric Abar, another guy who has a great history against Greinke in terms of their head-to-head matchups. For $2,000, there's my value play of the day, and he gives me great flexibility to really power up the offense in the outfield, where I've got Harper, Bautista, and Springer all in there. So I spent a lot of money in the outfield, but it was thanks to fitting in a guy like Abar at that shortstop position. So that's my lineup and yours. Now you got to tell our listeners, what the heck did the RotoWire optimizer spit out?
This was a bit of a head scratcher, I thought. I think, you know, if you're going into our optimizer today, you might want to tweak a couple things around. It's kind of a little counterintuitive in a couple spots, but, you know, obviously Kershaw, number one player on the board, so he's in there. V-Mart at catcher. Brandon Belt against Vargas, a left-hander, just because they like where he's hitting in the lineup, and he's just 2,900. And then a pretty significant Rocky stack here with LeMahieu, Arenado, and Trevor Story. All those guys, you know, checking in at really nice values. You know, LeMahieu 2,500, Trevor Story 2,600, and obviously, as you mentioned, Arenado down to only 3,300. And then in the outfield, we got Hunter Pence, Lorenzo Cain, and Byron Buxton. I don't know if I trust Buxton these days. I'm still waiting for him to kind of get it figured out, but we'll see what happens there. I mean, he's obviously a high upside guy, and at 2,200 gives you some serious lineup flexibility.
And, John, we can discuss what the optimizer spit up a little bit as we close things out. The lean that you suggested in the direction that you highlighted is one way that you include a guy like Kershaw. So that's just an illustration of what it takes to include one of the premier guys on the board. It costs so much. You highlighted it right off the top. You know, if you go that route, you're gonna have to really hit some long shots. And there are a few of them in here that almost make no sense intuitively. But that's the price you pay when you go so heavily on that starting pitcher. So it's a great way to highlight what you said right off the top of the show.
Yep.
So any thoughts as we close things out for this week, John?
Let's see here. I'm definitely excited for the Ubaldo show tonight. I think that's going to be high comedy, if you will. And I'd like to see your Blue Jays start to get off the mat and start acting like the other Toronto sports teams that are, you know, doing well in the postseason. You know, your Maple Leafs and your Raptors both off to strong starts in the first round of their respective playoffs. You know, as a Washington, D.C. native, I know tons of Capitals fans, and they're all, you know, just dreading how much this year looks exactly like they have every other year, where they dominate the regular season, then they just do not show up when the playoffs get started.
So let me say it's Groundhog Day for the Capitals fans, and boy, going to the ballpark in Toronto feels like Groundhog Day every day so far this season. So no. Maybe that's an early season theme that we'd like to see shaken in one side, but I'm quite happy with the way the Leafs are sticking in with the Caps in that series. So a nod to the hockey club as we close out our show. John, there you have it. Great effort by you to highlight some topical plays in FanDuel today. I hope I've added a few myself. I'll remind our listeners to follow John McKechnie. Find him at Johnny McKex. I'll spell it out. It's JohnnyMckechs. And you can follow me, Paul Bruno, at Statsman22, and wish you good luck with all your FanDuel picks. Come back to listen to our podcast on a daily basis to get an edge on the competition. So long, everybody.